Praise the Lord. Good morning. God bless you. Hope you're having a great week. You enjoying our Florida weather? Isn't it great? And aren't you glad you don't live in Boston or Buffalo, New York? Praise the Lord. And if you need notes, raise your hand. The ushers have some. If you need notes and you didn't get enough or didn't get one and you want one, there's some hands. We're going to get those to you. We are in the middle or two-thirds of the way into a series called First. It's about priorities. It's about order. It's about putting first things first in our life. And before we get deeper into it, I do want to give another shout out to our youth. We have awesome youth in this church. We have the lock-in Friday night. They spent the whole night here. We've got great people that came and helped Kaivon that care about youth. How many of you know we got to reach this generation as the kingdom of God? If the church doesn't reach this generation, it's over. It's over for the kingdom. But we're going to reach this generation. There are a lot of churches. Over 50% of churches in America are in decline. And you know why? The people in the church are getting old and dying because they're not reaching the youth. There's no new people coming in. We've got to reach the youth. It's just common sense. And our six youth invited 18 friends. They had 24 youth here Friday night. 18 people Kaivon had never seen before. Is that awesome or what? And that lock-in was strategically planned to be just before two youth small groups are starting this week. And every one of those 18 filled out a card, said they want to be in a youth small group. How do you like that? That is awesome, man. So that goes right along with our message, priorities. Putting first things first. It's a series on priorities. And that's why we fasted for 14 days at the first part of the year to get our priorities right. And to realize that we are spiritual beings and that we need to put emphasis on the spiritual part of our life. Now, in this series, the problem is not that we don't know what we should do first. The problem is there is a disconnect between what we want to be first in our life and what actually ends up being first in our life. If you were here last week, you know what these two jars represent. I'm not going to go through the demonstration again. If you missed it, you can go to the website through the miracle of technology. You can watch that message thanks to the internet and Michael Crames. Usually a couple days, and the internet doesn't do it by itself. We do need Michael Crames to actually photograph it and format it or whatever it all he does and gets it up. You can go back and watch. Did you know all of our messages for the last couple years? You can watch them. You can download them. You can listen to them. What this jar represents, we did it last week. There's some big rocks in here. Maybe you can't see them, but when you put the little rocks, which are the urgent things of life that scream and they say, you got to take care of me first. When we put the little rocks in first, all the big rocks didn't fit. But when we put the big rocks in first, it all fit. All right, that's what this represents. Big rocks are what's important, the important stuff in your life. But what happens every day is these other things want to be first, but if you put them first, what's important doesn't get into the day. It gets left out, and then down the road, you pay the price for it. So the problem is that not that we don't know what the big rocks are or should be. The problem is there's a disconnect of knowing what they are and actually getting them into the jar. So here's our keynote verse, Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. A psalm of Moses, and he said it this way. He said, teach me, God, teach me, help me, teach me to number my days right, to get the number right, to understand that the clock is ticking. Remember I told you about that website? You can put in, answer some questions, and it told me I'm going to die August 14th, 2042, and it's got a countdown timer. The seconds are ticking away. I don't know if it's accurate, but it is true that you and I are going to die and the seconds are ticking away. And he said, teach us to number our days aright. Why? So that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Other verses of scripture say that our life is like a vapor. One says it's like a mist. One says it's like the width of your hand, not too big. The idea is it's over, just like that. Another passage says our life is like the grass of the field. It's here today and gone tomorrow. It's dead, mowed down, and burned up. So here's what we discovered. We're in part four today. Let me just recap quickly the first three parts. Number one, we talked about we are not physical beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a temporary physical experience. Let's keep the priorities right. And when you win the spiritual battle, you can win all the other battles. If you don't win the spiritual battle, all other battles become much more difficult. This will be your best year, the best year of your life, if it's the best year spiritually. Now, you might be here today, and we've talked about some stuff, and maybe you made some resolutions, and here it is, February 1st, a whole month's gone by, and you say, you know what, I already blew it. I'm not doing the stuff that I said. Hey, let me just encourage you with this. Start all over again. Don't freak out about what you meant. Maybe you're trying to do the one-year Bible where you go on the website and you read and you say, well, I'm already 2 weeks behind. Forget about those 2 weeks. They'll be there next year. Start to just make it simple. Make it easy on yourself. Start all over again. Remember, every day, what do you get? A clean jar, brand new. Start over. Start over tomorrow. Just make a fresh start. Just do it again. Okay? Number two, in week two, we talked about a big priority is to fall in love with God and put your love for God first. Week three, we talked about the big rocks. How do I do it? Identify the big rocks, put the big rocks first. We also talked about that the order that I put them in, order determines capacity. Very important in your life. We're going to get into that this week on time management. Order determines capacity. Order reveals priority, tells everybody around you what's important to you, the order that you do things, the order of your life. Order creates blessing. When God told his people to tithe, he didn't say to do it last or fifth or third or second. He said do it first, and therein lies a blessing. I'll bless the rest. Anything that you do in the correct order creates blessing on everything else, and order has power. So, what we desire to be the order or the priorities of our life often don't end up being our priorities. And this has been said this way. If you observe how people spend their time and their money, you know what their God is and you know what their priorities are. Billy Graham said this way. He says, I'll tell you who your God is if you show me your checkbook. Hey, how many going to watch the Super Bowl today? Just a few, a bunch of people like the Super. I heard about this guy. He was at the Super Bowl, and he was sitting there watching the Super Bowl on the 50-yard line. Do you know how much expensive those tickets are right now? The cheapest ticket is $8,009. Is it going up? $9,000 for the cheapest. Anyway, this guy's watching the Super Bowl, and he's got an empty seat next to him on the 50-yard line. Well, the couple behind him is just like, surely somebody's going to come and sit in that seat. This is like a $20,000 seat here on the 50-yard line. But it's halftime, and nobody came and sit in that seat. And that's just bothering. They can't take it anymore. They asked the guy, said, hey, we noticed you got an empty seat there. What's up with that? And he said, well, you know, my wife and I, we used to always go to the Super Bowl. We'd go to the football games together. She recently died. Oh, I said, oh, we're so sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry about that. We're so sorry. And he said, but, didn't you have any friends or family that could sit in that seat? He goes, yeah. He said, but they're all at the funeral, at my wife's funeral. So might have had his priorities mixed up a little bit there. How many going to root for Seattle Seahawks? How many Seattle fans we got? How many Patriots fans? Oh, man, he's got a Patriots shirt. I don't care about either one of those two teams. I'm going to watch it. Only team I care about is the Packers, because I was a Packer fan when I was a kid, and Vince Lombardi and Paul Hornung and Bart Starr, and they're still my team. Did you watch that game 2 weeks ago? I'm telling you, I think Seattle's going to win because They've got something going that ain't natural. That was weird how they could come back and win that. I think somebody's preying on the Seattle team, so I think you Patriot fans better watch out. I don't know. I'm watching just to see what happens. Today we're going to talk. Oh, did you hear? You know how they have that trophy? At the end of the game, they give them a trophy. It's this tall thing with a football on top. But now this year, you heard about the controversy a couple weeks ago. They thought that New England deflated the footballs, you know. Well, this year, they have two trophies. One, the regular one, if Seattle wins, and if Patriots win, they have one with the football that's deflated. They're going to give that to them. No, no, no. That's what I heard. May not. I don't know. Today, I want to talk about managing your time. The title of this message is The Time of Your Life. Ephesians chapter 5 says, be very careful. That's some strong words from the Bible, isn't it? When you see words like that, you want to take extra note. Pay close attention to what's about to be said. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. This is the New International. It says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Can anybody bear witness to that? Looking around the world around us, the days are evil. Okay. You can sit around and cry and complain about that, but that's God said that's the way it's going to be. And if you want the proper response is not to, oh me, oh my, dig a hole and crawl in the hole under the ground, but or you can just redeem the time, make best use of the time, take advantage of every opportunity. Because the days are evil, therefore don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is in the midst of these times. Now let's look at it from the New King James Version puts it this way. So then, see then that you walk circumspectly. That word means to circumspect, to look. Look around. You know, don't just walk like, you know, you don't see. Circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. The days are short. Number your days. There's not a lot of time. There's things going on. People need help. And we want God to help us, but I found out the best way to get God to help you is to help somebody else. Reach out and help somebody. Saturday we had a prayer meeting. I'm so glad we're having Saturday morning prayer meetings. Carl and Brenda are heading that up, and usually Saturday's my prep day for today, and I usually spend the whole day doing that, and I came to the prayer meeting. I also had something else I had to do on Saturday. I got this bunch of forms from my insurance company for my house insurance to fill out. They're renewing the policy, and they had this form with all these detailed questions about the nearest fire department. Did you ever get one of those? You know, how many gallons they can pump, how many tankers they have. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to go down. So when I left here, I went over to the fire department, and I asked the guy, and I sat down and answered the question. And he says, forgive me. He said, I don't feel too good. I got this headache. And he said, I think it's a stress headache because of, and then he starts telling me all this stuff. Did you ever have that happen? Yeah. And I'm thinking, I got to get home. I got to work on my sermon. I'm already getting a late start. And this guy's telling me all this stuff. But I've learned to take advantage of every opportunity. Redeem the time. Be alert. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. God's setting. I just begin to sense God's. Whoa, wait a minute. Something's getting set up here. This is a divine setup. When people just start pouring their life, a stranger just starts pouring his life. I filled out the form. I'm ready to go. And he starts telling me all this stuff going on in his life. God's doing something. Be alert. You might be in the checkout line. You may be at the gas pump. You might be walking down the street. Be alert to redeem the time and take advantage of every opportunity. And I just said, okay, I'm going to work on my message. If I have to stay up till midnight, doesn't matter. I'm going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What's going on here? And this guy just starts telling me all this stuff going on in his life. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, I'm asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? And I thought, I got to pray for this guy. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, he doesn't look like a guy that is used to being prayed for. He's a big guy. He's got tattoos. And, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to go for it. When he gets done, I gave him some advice. I told him, I tried to encourage him. I tried to speak some words. It's going to work out. And I said, I want to pray for you. When I said, can I pray for you? It looked like he stepped on an electric cord. His face lit up, completely blew me away. His eyes got real big. He said, man, that would be great. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, I don't want to freak this guy out. I'm not going to, like, reach over and touch him. I'm sitting in the chair, and he's sitting on this couch, and I thought, I'm just going to pray for him. He goes, man, that would be great. And he sticks his hand out and reaches out to me, and I grab his hand, squeezing my hand so hard, I start praying for him, and just let the Holy Spirit lead me about the things that he told me, and God's going to pray for God to bless him and to take care of these circumstances, these situations. And I get done, and I open my eyes, and his eyes are just full of tears. And he gets up, and he grabs me, and he hugs me. He says, man, God sent you here today. Yeah, I know, God. I'm so glad that you came. And I told him, give me a call, man. Tell me what's going on. He must have thanked me 5 times, hugged me 3 times, man. Take advantage of every opportunity. I could have been in a big hurry. You know, I got my form filled out. I'm going to go home. Be sensitive to what God's doing. God wants to use every one of us. So we've got to be sensitive, redeem the time. Redeem, the word redeem means to restore to original intent. Did you know God wants to redeem you? And God wants you to redeem the time. How? Understanding his will. So here's your first fill in the blank. Our most valuable asset is time. You already know this, but we're going to put it all together in a way I think will help you this week and the rest of the year. Our most valuable asset is time. Time is the currency of this dimension. If somebody asks you to spend time with them, they're asking you for something very valuable, aren't they? Because they're not making any more of it. This X amount. You have so much. Okay? Now here's something that will help us all in the coming year. You're not going to get more time than anybody else. It's all about how you allocate the time allotted to you. You're not going to get more time. Have you ever asked, how's it? I just need more time. I wish I could get more time. People who are successful don't get any more time than anybody else. But here's what they've learned. They're just better at allocating it. So here's your next fill in the blank. You cannot manage time. You can only manage opportunities. Now, we're going to talk about time management, and I'm not saying that we're not going to talk about that, managing time, but I'm saying technically, if you really want to get in the weeds and get technical about it, Albert Einstein said time management is an oxymoron. Oxymoron means the two terms contradict each other. They're not possible. What he was saying with his understanding of time and relativity and sun and so forth, he said, you can't manage time. It's like managing the sun. It's like saying, I'm going to manage the sun. No, you're not going to manage the sun. So really, technically, you don't manage time. You manage the opportunities that you have within the confines of 24 hours a day. Now, here's another key to time management. You cannot do everything. We cannot do everything. So real wisdom is in what not to do. People who get a lot done don't have more time. They have a big not to do list. They're very specific. They're very focused. They know what they want to do. They know what they have to focus on. And what are we talking about? We're talking about big rocks. We're talking about what's important to us is the big rocks. And what gets in our way is the little rocks. What gets in our way is too many opportunities and wanting to do everything. You can't do everything. Successful people have learned what not to be involved in. Even as a church, for the last 2.5 years, we've been examining everything we do as a church. We have not changed our goal, which is to win souls, make disciples. We said, how do we do it better? How do we refine? And to do that, we have to do certain things, and to do certain things, you have to not do a whole lot of things. Because if you look around at other churches or the world, this church is doing that, and that church is doing this, and you tend to want to do it all, and then you don't do anything well. What we've decided as a church is to focus on 4 things. This is our call. This is our track. This is what we need to run on. We've decided we're going to do 4 things to the very best of our ability. Number one, we're going to have an uplifting Sunday service. We want to put energy every week. The pastors get together. We critique our service. What did we do wrong? What did we do right? How do we do it better? We want to have an uplifting Sunday service. We're going to do 4 things as a church. Number two, we're going to have small groups that meet people that touch our heads, our hearts, and our hands and improve us. And we'll leave the small groups feeling better. That's the second thing. Number one, we're going to have an awesome Sunday service. Number two, we're going to have small groups that work, that meet people's needs. Number three, we're going to have a growth track, 4-event sequence that helps people understand how they were uniquely made. Church statistics say 87% of people in the churches do not know their spiritual gifting. We want to solve that in 4 weeks. You're going to understand your personality, your gifting, your calling, your talents, your destiny. We're going to put it all together. That's the third thing we're going to do is a growth track. And the fourth thing is dream team, which is taking what you've learned, taking your gifts and putting them to use, being part of a team that's making a difference in other people's lives. We're going to do 4 things, and we're going to do them well. That's what we've decided to do. That means there's a lot of things that we're not going to do. Wisdom in life consists in the elimination of things. This year, 2015, if you want to fully accomplish God's purpose for your life, you're going to probably have to eliminate some things. If you want to have more success this year than last year, that means something has to be eliminated. Even if you don't eliminate stuff from last year, there's going to be a lot of opportunities that come your way that say you got to do this year, and you're going to have to pray and seek and find out what you're called to do, and you're going to have to say no to a lot of things. You're going to have to think about things that don't contribute to the most important goals and eliminate them. So, I mean, that's what the nuclear group is about. I'm just going to give a plug for my group since I've got the microphone and I can do that. The nuclear group, we're going to start this Thursday right here, and I want input from the church. We've been as pastors and elders and leaders talking and learning and getting input from other churches, but now I want input from you guys. Is it working? Do you have ideas that we haven't thought of? Do you want to say, well, why do we do this and why don't we do that? Thursday, this is the opportunity I'm opening up to everybody in the church to come on Thursday night, 12 Thursday nights, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here. Let's talk about what we're doing. All right? The vision is non-negotiable. Win souls, make disciples. How we do it is negotiable. We'll challenge anything that we're doing. If you got a better way, I want to hear it. That's what nuclear is all about. I want you to come and be a part of that. The next thing is that there's a cumulative value, this is in your notes, to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period of time. There is a cumulative value to investing small amounts of time in certain activities over a long period of time. Our tendency is to put it off and not do it and wait. For instance, exercise. Sometimes we put it off. And then one day you get all gung-ho about it, and you go and you spend 8 hours at the gym. Now listen, let me tell you. Once a year, 8 hours in the gym is not nearly as valuable as 5 minutes every day. You know what I mean? It's much better. In fact, it probably is detrimental. You tear muscles, you go to, you know, you come up. You can't just go, you haven't been working out, and go spend 8 hours in the gym. You can't even get out of bed the next morning. You say, the heck with that. And what our tendency is, we realize we have a deficiency in some area, and then we just go overboard rather than just working it into the fabric of our life, the rhythm of our life, fit it in a little bit that you can actually do every day. Start there. Start somewhere. Start with, I don't have time to exercise. Could you just start with like 3 minutes a day? Yeah, you can fit that in. Fit 3 minutes a day in, and you'll be, hey, this is working. This is enjoyable. And you'll start expanding. But it's got to be every day. Same thing with praying. You know, if you wait until the doctor tells you you're going to die to start praying, you got a lot of praying to catch up on. You might start now. Start praying a few minutes a day, but make it every day. So many of the important things, reading your Bible, start somewhere. Start with a few minutes. What you do every day determines who you are and what you will achieve. What you do every day determines who you are and what you will achieve. When we fail to put important things into our daily routine, we inevitably end up in the land of regret. It's true with our kids. Well, someday I'll get, and then 20 years later, you live in the land of regret. It's true for your health. It's true for your weight. It's true for your money. It's true for your relationship with God. It's true for other important relationships. It's true about your education. It's true in every area of life. If you do the right thing over a long period of time, it's an investment in your own future. That's the way to think about it. It's just like tithing. I mean, the reason we don't do things is because there's no immediate benefit. Well, I don't see an immediate benefit to giving to God. And you have to see it not when, if you see giving to God as loss, like it's lost, you don't understand giving to God. You have to see it as an investment in your future. It's coming back down the road a different way. And it's true for things that are important. You have to see them as an investment in your future and in eternity. Next thing, decide what's important and then manage that decision daily. Decide what's important and then manage the decision daily. The real problem is not in the decision, it's in the discipline. And that's what wisdom is, right? Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Moses said, teach me to number my days that I might gain a heart of wisdom. Number my days so that I know I've got to do certain things. I've got to implement these decisions. I've got to take action. Make decisions about what is important, then do something about it every day. So I want to give you three suggestions. These are the 1, 2, 3 on your notes. Three suggestions on what to make time for. Just suggestions, all right? Number one, I think it's a good idea to make time for renewal. Our generation is going way too fast. People live under more stress right now than any other time in history. Life is stressful. We've achieved a lot. We've got a lot of provision, so many things available to us. It is simplified our lives in a lot of ways, but here's the downside. We live under tremendous stress. So I want to offer to you this suggestion. You need to take time to rest. You need to work that into your daily schedule, some time to rest. You need solitude. We are a generation that does not want to be alone. You've either got to have an iPhone, an iPad, some earplugs, watching, doing, being social media connected. And people don't want to be alone, but there needs to be some downtime where you connect one-on-one with God. I want to submit to you, you need a time for quietness every day. You need a time for meditation. I think you need to observe nature. We've got disconnected to God's creation. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and we're not listening because we're just caught up in our own technological world. Something just wonderful about just watching a tree, man. I don't know about you, I get in my office, I get in my computer, and it's all great, and after a while, it's like, I got to look at a tree, man. I'm tired of looking at this. I want to go smell my horse, something wonderful. I just got to go smell my horses. I just want to get away from this computer. I want to just sit and watch the sun, watch the sunset, look at the trees, watch the moss grow, anything. I mean, we get disconnected from nature. There's something wonderful about nature. In fact, I was talking to a scientist the other day. He says, people are going to have more and more sicknesses because they don't touch the dirt anymore. He said, man was made to come in contact with the dirt, and it gives you antibodies and strengths in your body by coming in contact with the dirt. He says, we don't do that. We wash our hands all the time. We do sanitizers 50 times a day. He said, you're going to watch how sick people are because they don't come in contact with dirt anymore. We've lost that. People don't touch the dirt. They don't touch nature. They don't see God working in these things. Take some time to observe nature. Watch the sunset. Look at the water. Isn't there something just peaceful about looking at the water? I know we don't live by the coast, but stare at a fire. I love to watch a fire when it doesn't get out of hands. Actually, most of the guys at the fire department already know me. I'm kind of famous down there for bad, you know, had a couple fires get out of hand. It wasn't my fault, but they got out of hand. Thank God for the fire department, but I'm not a pyromaniac, but I do like to watch a fire in the fireplace. My mom was like that. If you put a fire in the fireplace, there she is. She's going to sit there, and she can sit there and watch it. And I can watch a fire for hours. Why? What's it doing? I don't know. But it has some kind of an effect on you. It's part of nature. If you spend more time refreshing and renewing your being, you can accomplish more with the time that's left than if you don't, and you'll enjoy it more. Most people are wore out and tired because of not refreshing their being. They're trying to accomplish much, but you got to have a time to renew. Psychology Today magazine said, we live in the decade of fatigue. Now look what 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says. Therefore, don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. That's what Paul wrote. Paul was busy, man. He had all kinds of persecution and problems. Read the list of stuff he went through. But he said, you know, it's not a problem because I get refreshed every day. Every day is a new day. He said, inwardly, I'm being renewed day by day. How did he do that? He spent time with God. Find a way to get renewed every day. Psalm 23 puts it this way. It's a famous song. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And what happens? He restores my soul. Nature has the ability to get away, get alone. Just go out, take a walk, man. Mark 2:27, he said to them, then the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You know what Sabbath means, literally? Stop, cease, rest. It literally means cease. Sabbath, cease. Whoa, stop, slow down, take it easy. Do you know it's a commandment? It's after the first three about I'm God, have no idols, watch my name, stop, cease. It's before murder, before adultery, before lying, before stealing. Cease, stop. Check this out, though. Man was made in the six days of creation. What day was man made? Six. When was the Sabbath? The next day. Okay, we're talking about order, putting God first. Where did God put rest in the order of man's life? Not the seventh day. It was the seventh day of creation. For man, it was the first day. Did you know in the Jewish way of time, the day starts at sunset? Why? Because it starts with rest. First thing they do is rest. Then they have their day when the sun comes up. And we've got it all turned around. See, and that's why we're worshiping on Sunday is the first day of our week. It's not a coincidence. Put it first. Put rest first. Make rest a priority. What if you took 3 minutes at the start of every day and just thought about God? I know you're busy. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. But could you take 3 minutes out of that day at the beginning, just at the beginning of the day? Could you take 3 minutes? Is your day so busy you don't have 3 minutes? Could you take three, for sure, every day? You know, I know how it is. I'm busy, I'm going to do this, and then tonight I'm going to read my Bible. Tonight I'm going to pray, and then tonight becomes tomorrow. Could you make sure that you got it in every day if you took 3 minutes? If you said 3 minutes before I even get out of bed, before I do anything, man, I'm going to spend 3 minutes just talking to God. You think you could work that in? You think you could do that? Number two, make time for reward. Make time for reward. Are you doing something every week that is laying up reward in heaven? Here's what Solomon, the wisest man in all the earth, said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. He says, I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, chasing after the wind. Now look at this. Under the sun is meaningless. What does that mean? Over the sun is meaningful. What you lay up treasure in heaven is important. The stuff that you lay up down here is meaningless. 1 Timothy 6 puts it this way. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. This life is temporary. It looks like everything. It's not. It's a training ground. It's a test. It's temporary. It's going to be destroyed one day. God's going to melt everything back to the base elements. Don't fall in love with what you can see. Fall in love with where we're ending up in eternity. There's an eternity to gain. Lay up treasure where it's important. Number three, make time for relationships. I want to encourage you to do those three things. Make time to refresh and renew. Make time for reward. Make time for relationships are very important. First two commandments. Love God, love people. That's all about relationships. Make time for God. Proverbs 10 says reverence for God adds hours to each day. Really? I thought we couldn't get any more time. That's what the Bible says. Put God first, and somehow you have more time. I know it's true for money. If I put God first, somehow, even though I have 10% less, it goes 50% further. It's a miracle. Reverence God, adds hours to the day, and also make time for God's people. Join a small group. Get in a small group. Make some time for people, the right people, good people, godly people. Go out and eat. Go fishing. Go to the mall. Play bocce, for heaven's sakes. What? You don't know what bocce is? That's what's wrong with this generation. Bocce. My dad, when people came, he wanted to play bocce. If there was two or three people, hey, you guys want to play bocce? You go get the bocce balls. You know, the guys don't know what bocce is? Oh, it's this Italian game. You call it. Some people call it lawn bowling. You have these wooden bocce balls, two different colors, and then you have this little small wooden ball, the pelota, and you throw that one, and then you see who can get close to. My dad loved to play bocce. Do something. Get out and have some fun with some people. Spend time with people. Go bowling. Hebrews chapter 10 says, let us not give up meeting together as is the habit of some. Some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? What are you supposed to do? Spend time with God's people. Spend time with God. Spend time with God's people. Listen, I want to encourage you to this year to make a decision, make some decisions about what you're going to do this year that you didn't do last year. And your last fill in the blank, here's what I would like you to write down and think about. I will put first things first and give focus and energy to the things that are eternal. I will put first things first. God, God's kingdom, God's people. I will put first things first and give focus and energy to the things that are eternal. Listen, the world is out there. It's going to eat up your day. If we're not strategic, if we don't evaluate our lives and think about where we're going to end up in 5 years, in 10 years, if we don't start putting the big rocks in first every day, life will pass us by. Teach me to number my days. That countdown timer is going, folks. Every one of us, you're not leaving here any other way. You're going to die. I'm going to die. It's just a matter of when. Am I counting my days? Am I making them work? Am I putting the big rocks first? If you don't forcefully, actively make sure that you put the big rocks first, they won't get in there, folks. They won't get in there. The little rocks will crowd it out. Maybe you need to make some decisions today. Maybe you need to write something on your little note sheet, a decision that you're going to make. Maybe you would take my challenge and commit right now, just between you and God, to spend 3 minutes every morning. Maybe that's a huge step for you, but you would commit 3 minutes. And I'm sure a lot of you take a whole lot more time than that, but I'm talking about the consistency. Maybe you would just say, okay, for sure, I'm going to spend 3 minutes before my feet hit the ground and I go running in all these directions. Think about something you can do. I want you to make a decision right now on something you're going to do every day from now on that will impact your eternity, impact your relationship with God. Maybe you've never fully surrendered your life to Christ, and that's why you're here today. We're just thinking and we're just praying, and you can write stuff down, but let God speak to you right now. Just take a moment. Let God speak to you something. Just jot it down or put it in your mind. Make a decision. Maybe you never fully surrendered your life to Christ. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. I hope so. I think so. I'm not sure. Listen, that's a very important consequence to leave to chance. And you can be sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. You say, how? How do I get eternal life? Somebody asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. That means you make a decision to surrender your life to Christ. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you might be here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, you know, I did that at a certain time in my life, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. But you say, today, I mean business with God. I want to be sure if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Or I need to get back on track with God. Would you just slip up your hand real quick? I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You want to be sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. You want to trust Jesus with your life. Or you want to get back on track. Anybody else? Thank you. I want to lead you in a prayer. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow from this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God. Listen, if